Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, please. One of those verses that every Christian should memorize. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. About the powerful Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the powerful Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you use your Word in our lives this evening. May we lift up your Word. And Lord, may it bless our hearts and teach and grow us. So we meet with us tonight, Lord, in a special way as we, Lord, just want to focus on this amazing book that you've given us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the verse just says so much about the Word of God, and we're going to just walk through it tonight and understand it. But that first word is the word quick. So five major things that we find about the Word of God tonight. And the first one is that the Word of God is a living book. Praise the Lord. It gives life. That word quick means to give life. The Word of God is alive. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us this if you look at John chapter 6. And verse 63, John chapter 6 and verse 63, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that His words are life. They don't just give life, they are life. Notice John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So Jesus says the words are life. And the Word of God is quick, it is alive. Matter of fact, the Word of God, we're told, will live forever. In 1 Peter 1:23, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the Word of God will live forever, we're told in Scripture. And so the first thing we find about the Word of God tonight is it's quick. It's alive. It is a living book. We can study it. And every time we study it, God will use it in a different way in our lives. We can read it and read it and read it. I mean, you can't do that with a regular novel, can you? You can't just read the same novel 30 times. You'll have it memorized, but it's not the way with the Word of God because this is a living book. Every time we go to it, it has the power to speak to us, to change us, to work in our lives. It is a quick book. It is living. Secondly, we see here it's not only quick or alive, but it is powerful. And this is really probably the key word of the verse, is this word powerful. This book is a powerful book. And this should be the foundational truth of a lot of our Christian lives, if you think about it. For example, we're told to witness to the world. When we go forward and witness for Jesus Christ, we should have this confidence of knowing that if we will share the Word of God with them, it's powerful. It works in hearts. The Holy Spirit will use it to convict them. It's the same in church. If we have this understanding and belief that the Word of God is powerful, then a biblical church is going to make sure that they give forth the Word when it's taught and preached. Because that's where the power is. The power is not in the speaker. The power is in the Word. So the Word is powerful. And when it comes to studying it, when it comes to reading it, when it comes to meditating in it, why do we do those things? Because it's powerful. It's powerful. And God gives us a few words in the Bible to show us its power. So let's start in Jeremiah 23 and just get a feel from God's perspective, some of the things that He has likened the Word to reveal its power. And this verse in Jeremiah 23:29 is one of those verses. Notice the Bible says, Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. That's Jeremiah 23:29. So two things God likens the Word to, a hammer and fire. A hammer, of course, breaks down resistance or pounds nails in. The Word of God has the power, like a hammer. What does fire do? It consumes The Word of God has the power to consume in our lives as well. So it's likened to a hammer. It's likened to fire. We all know that the Lord Jesus Christ told parables where He likened the Word of God to a seed. The parable of the sower. He says the seed is the Word of God. And again, that verse in 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. So it's also likened to a seed. What does a seed do? It regenerates and brings forth new life. So it's powerful like a seed. The Bible likens the Word to a lamp and a light, right? Psalm 119:105. That Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the Word of God can light the way. It's powerful to do that as well. The Word of God is likened to food. Milk and meat, for example. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2:2, that you may grow thereby. So it has the power to nourish us like food does. In Hebrews 5, it's likened to meat as well. So the Word of God is like a hammer, like a fire, like a seed, like food, like a lamp and a light, and then lastly, it's likened to water, which has the power to cleanse. Go, if you would, to John 15. Jesus shares this truth with us, but most of us know Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." But there's a verse, two verses before that one, Psalm 119:9, which says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to his word." So the Word of God is likened to water. Notice here in John 15, verse 3, Jesus says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And in Ephesians 5:26, the Bible talks about being washed by the water of the Word. So the Word of God is likened to a hammer, to fire, to seed, to food, to a lamp and a light, and to water. All of these things God likens the Word to show us how powerful it is. To break down resistance, to motivate, to consume, to regenerate, to nourish, to light the way, to cleanse. That's a lot of power. The Word of God is quick, in other words, alive. The Word of God is powerful. And it also says there in Hebrews 4:12, it's sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. What does that mean? The Word of God is a sword. We're told that. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll see that. Ephesians chapter 6. This is the passage that talks about the armor of God. Most of us are familiar with it. And other than a sword and the prayers, everything on here is defensive. But sword here is an offensive weapon, right? And we're told here, Ephesians 6:17, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." It's a sword. It's sharp. Has the power to pierce as a sword. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, He just said, "It is written." And the devil left. He used the sword. We read in Revelation 19, when Jesus returns to the earth, He's going to return and a sharp two-edged sword is going to come out of His mouth, and with it He's going to smite the nations. It's not talking about a literal sword. It's talking about the power of His Word. So the Word of God is powerful, or alive, it's powerful, and it is sharp. It is a weapon that we are to use, to wield, if you will. Doesn't the Bible say, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you"? With what? With the sword. So it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than a sword. And notice also, it says here, "Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow." So talking now still about the fact that it's a sharp sword, the Bible says this sharp sword can pierce to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Anybody know where that is? We don't know where that is, do we? Where does the soul begin and the spirit end? Or where does the spirit end and the soul be? We don't know. But the Bible does. Only the Bible is talked about as being powerful enough to divide asunder of soul and spirit. That's pretty amazing. If you would look at Acts chapter 5, we'll see an example of this. This dividing power of God's Word. Acts chapter 5 and verse 33. Bible says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. So the sharp word of God cut to the heart here in Acts chapter 5. The cutting power doesn't always result in salvation, as we see here. They took counsel to slay them. But it still has the power to cut and to divide asunder between soul and spirit. Only the Word of God has that kind of power. And it says, and of the joints and marrow. See, this can cut through all of man. This two-edged sword of the Word of God, this powerful book that God has given us. And it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, we're told. Romans chapter 1. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Somehow this book has the power to grow our faith. We don't understand how, but it does. Because it is God's book. And then look at James chapter 1, if you would, where we'll see that the Word of God even has the power to save souls. Which, since it has the power to divide asunder of soul and spirit, that makes sense. Because when we're born with a dead spirit. It needs life. The Word of God has the power to give that life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Able to save your souls. That's amazing that the Word of God has the power to save souls. Piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is amazingly powerful. The Word of God is a sharp sword that can cut to the heart. It can cut and also is a weapon that we can use to resist the devil. And it can divide asunder between soul and spirit. And then lastly it says, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's something that we all wish we had the power to do, right? To read people's motives. To know people's thoughts instead of just their actions. But none of us has that power. But the Bible does. The Bible can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's one of the ways that it can grow us. It's the way that it can save us, but it's one of the ways it can grow us, because it can reach in there and find things that we can't find, and point out things that we can't point out that need fixed. And if you're still in James 1, we're going to go back there again, sorry. There's a couple more verses about this powerful book and its ability to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so what we're finding here is that the Word of God, it says dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and thoughts and intents of the heart, that's every aspect of man. Think about that. That is body, soul, and spirit. So the Word of God affects us spiritually, physically, and mentally. There's no other book in the universe that can do that. James 1, look at verse 23. It says, but for if any man be hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So that's talking about a mirror. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What the Bible is saying is that the Bible, in this power to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, is like a mirror. And so when we open it, and when we read it, and when we study it, and when we hear it preached and taught, the Holy Spirit uses it to reflect back to us ourselves. Not our outward physical appearance, but our spiritual appearance. Where are we spiritually? Only the Bible can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. But the Bible, as we read it, as we expose ourselves to it, it reflects back to us what needs changed so that we might be more like Jesus. That's pretty amazing that it can have that kind of power to actually discern our hearts, where we stand. Nothing else can do that on this earth. But the Holy Spirit can take the Word and do that. So, these five things we see in the Word of God this evening, revealing its power. First of all, we see that it's alive. No other book is referred to as being a book that's alive, but this book is alive. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." This book is alive. This book is powerful. We saw that it's likened to a hammer, fire, seed, food, lamp, light, water, a mirror, a sword. It's powerful. It's so powerful that it is like a sword. It's sharp. And it's a weapon that we can use against the devil. Then we see that it has the power to divide asunder of soul and spirit. Wow. Of course, we don't know where that is. The Word of God does. And can reach in there and divide between soul and spirit. Save a soul with the gospel. Only the Word has that kind of power. And then lastly, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is like a mirror that reflects back our spiritual condition. That's why you'll never meet a backslidden Christian who is faithfully in the Word every day. Those two things don't go together. What you'll find is that they slowly backed away from the Word of God. Why? Because if you go to the Word every day, it's going to convict. It's going to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, and you got to do something with that. So what do? Is you just close it when you're backsliding. You don't want to hear what the Word has to say because it makes you uncomfortable. So what an amazing book we have. We're so blessed. And this is the book, by the way, that we will be judged by. Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words," in John 12:48, "hath one that judgeth him the word that I have spoken. The same will judge him in the last day." This book will judge us. So we have a responsibility, like Paul told us in 2 Timothy, to study it, to show ourselves approved unto God, the workman that needed not to be ashamed. As we read, to memorize it, Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." To meditate in it, as he told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." And to expose ourselves to it whenever we can, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So we are so blessed to have a copy of the powerful word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's pray.